The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 30th through Sunday, February 5th, 2023. The commentary for January was written by Ellis Liu, a youth minister at Christ Church in Bronxville, New York. The commentary for the remainder of this week and all of the month of February was written by Paige Pelfrey, a member of Christ Church in Guilford, Connecticut, where she lives with her three children and two cats. She teaches high school world languages and is passionate about mission, community service, and finding scripture and the baptismal covenant in everyday life. The commentary for Monday, January 30th, begins as follows from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 9a. Now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental spirits? And the commentary begins as follows. It can be hard to let others get to know us. Sometimes people we've known, we've grown up with, or who have known us for years, get an idea stuck in their heads about who we are or what we are like. When we get new interests or discover new things about ourselves or just change and grow, it can surprise them. Other times, people we don't know at all might see the outside markers and decide they know us because they have an idea of who we must be based on our age, gender, sexual orientation, race, ability, or socioeconomic class. God knows us fully, and we can't surprise God. God delights when we grow and change into more of who we have been created to be. In the fullness of time, God delights in getting to know us. May we spend our lives delighting in getting to know God. And now I'll read from the full passage for this day from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by their father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to beings that by nature are not gods. Now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental spirits? How can you want to be enslaved to them again? You are observing special days, months, and seasons, and years. I am afraid that my work for you may have been wasted. And the moving forward passage for this Monday, January 30th, is how can you invite others to see the true you? Can you look past your own preconceived notions and truly see others? Now we'll turn to the commentary for Tuesday, January 31st, from Psalm 62, verse 1. For God alone my soul in silent waits. From him comes my salvation. Every year my youth group makes a pilgrimage to the village of Taizé, France. During World War II, Brother Roger founded the Taizé community, an ecumenical monastery of brothers from Catholic and Protestant traditions, with a focus on reconciliation, silence, and work. Our teenagers look forward to the week at the monastery every year. They're excited to hang out with other young Christians from all over the world, and they leave with deeper relationships with each other, their faith, and with God. Daily life at the monastery is grounded in prayer, morning, noonday, and evening prayer. At each service, we are invited to keep silence for approximately 10 minutes. This can sound intimidating to the uninitiated, 30 whole minutes of silence every day. When we are out of practice with waiting for God, our minds can wander, our thoughts filled with things like our to-do list or what we ate this morning. Eventually, though, our souls do quiet. In the silence, we hear the voice of God. Now I'm going to read from the full text for Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assail a person? Will you batter your victim, all of you, as you would a leaning wall or a tottering fence? Their only plan is to bring down a person of prominence. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion, and set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord, for you repay to all according to their work. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, set a timer for 10 minutes of silence today. Reflect on how your body and soul responds to this time of silence. The commentary for Wednesday, February 1st, begins with a chapter from Psalm 72, verse 4. He shall defend the needy among the people. He shall rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. On February 1st, 1960, four college students sat at the Woolworth's dining counter in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, and refused to leave until served. By February 5th, more than 300 students were participating in the sit-in. By March, the movement spread across the country, and by July, Woolworth's dining counters were integrated. The sit-in is one of the key moments of the civil rights movement, and our community has been shaped by the struggle. Before that Woolworth closed, my friends and I ate at the counter. I took my children to the Smithsonian Museum to see it and to talk about the importance of living out our baptismal covenant, to respect the dignity of every human being, and to strive for justice. The street has since been renamed February 1 Place. As we begin this month of meditations, I am reminded of the courage of those students at the Woolworth's counter and of our baptismal promise to do what we pray for in this psalm. And I'm going to read now from Psalm chapter 72, verses 1 through 11. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in the righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the needy and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Saba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all natures give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor, and those who have no helper. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, February 1st, is what issues need your voice and action? The commentary for Thursday, February 2nd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 37b. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. When I first heard Anna never left the temple, I couldn't figure out what she did all day. Fasting and praying night and day, I bet she was starving and exhausted. How could she have possibly kept that up? Of course, this was before the country shut down and I found myself at home with 2 weeks' worth of groceries and nowhere to go. During those first 2 weeks in March 2020, I took a closer look at the daily office and the practices of my church. Some days I joined my best friend's church in Georgia for morning prayer on Facebook. On others, I joined my mother's church in Greensboro. My church had Wednesday evening prayers. There was a Celtic Eventide in Maine via Zoom. My diocese had Compline services all online. Even in the midst of those uncertain times, I always had access to a way to pray with others. As we celebrate the presentation of Jesus and the temple on this day, I remember Anna's steadfastness and witness that it is possible to stay and just pray. And now on this feast day of the presentation of Jesus and the temple, I'm going to read from the full scripture from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus in the Temple, February 2nd, is, how have your prayer habits changed? What can Anna's witness teach us about faithfulness and steadfastness? Now let's turn to the moving forward commentary for Friday, February 3rd. This is from the book of Galatians, a letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 23. Gentleness and self-control. There is no law against such things. As Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit in his letter to the Galatians, I would have been fine if he had stopped at gentleness. We can all get behind love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and gentleness. Those make a lot of sense and for me are easier to practice. But self-control, that's a challenge. Every day I wake up and ask the Lord for self-control with my children and my students. Then I am gently reminded of the big question. Who is the only person I can control? Well, me. How can I handle my day at home or at school plays a big role in determining how the day will go. I think of all the times I made things worse because I couldn't or wouldn't control my words. Even though I find self-control the hardest gift of the Spirit to embrace, it helps me to know that it is a part of a pack, precious gifts of love and joy and peace. Thank goodness the Spirit comes in all sorts of ways, as will I pray the gift of self-control. And now I'm going to read from the full scripture for this day, the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now the commentary on the fruit of the Spirit. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And the moving forward question for this Friday, February 3rd, is which of the fruits of the Spirit are hardest for you to embrace, and how can you work toward living in all of the fruits? The commentary for Saturday, February 4th, begins with a passage from Psalm 23, verse 1b. I shall not be in want. Here's the commentary. If I was told I could only pray one prayer for the rest of my life, it would be Psalm 23. I remember memorizing it at my Christian summer camp in Black Mountain, North Carolina. When I was a child, Little House on the Prairie was my favorite television show. I watched that pioneer family go through many heartache situations. Anytime they experienced a tragedy or serious loss, the parents would hold each other and recite Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. As a teen, I thought of the rod and the staff keeping me in line. As an adult, I take strength and solace in knowing that all I have is under my shepherd's control. I pray and remember that I am where I should be and have, with God's help, whatever I need. God takes care of me, and whatever decision is made, God has a long-term plan, even if I can't see it, amid the valley of shadows. And now I'm going to read the full Psalm 23, one of the most popular psalms, certainly, and one of the most popular passages in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. It begins as follows. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And the moving forward question for this day is, what is your very favorite psalm or prayer? Share it with someone you know and love. Now let's conclude the program, and this week, Sunday, February 5th, with a passage from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. 2 years ago, my town became everything you don't want to see on the news. The disagreements turned hostile, not only on social media, but also in school parking lots. These weren't unknown politicians and strangers staking out their positions. These were our neighbors. People who had been friends for years were no longer speaking to each other, refusing to buy coffee or attend church services until signs or flags were removed. The people of my town were putting trust in their tribes and refusing to listen to the other. I read Isaiah 58 to remind myself that what is hurt and broken can be rebuilt and healed. As an act of love for my town, I dropped my political party and registered as an independent. At first, I felt horrible about the decision, but then I decided this was a step I could take to try to rebuild our community, to restore our streets, to repair the breach. And now I'll read from the full chapter for today from Isaiah, verse 58. beginning with chapter 1. Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in a sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, Here I am. And the moving forward question for this day is, how can you be part of the solution to a problem in your community or state? And what does it mean to you to be a repairer of the breach? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.